In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, Gideon, the one that no one would have chosen but God, to show his glory through this weak man. Oh yes, it is God's will to show his glory through weakness, because he chooses the weak and makes them strong. Hallelujah. There is no one strong. I have learned this, that there is no one strong. Even the pillars of the church, when you start listening to them, they are in need just as you are in need and I am in need. I tell you, God chooses the weak and makes them strong. That's you. I'm talking about you. And so I'm looking at Judges and chapter 7, verse 15. And it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." Oh, in other words, we're going to win. Oh, we're going to win because I heard someone talking about a dream. And we're going to win the battle against the Midianites. And he divided the 300 men. Remember, only 300 men. 300 men that lapped the water. 300 into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. And an empty pitcher and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so you shall do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men, remember he's broke 300 into hundreds, Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers at once, and the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets, and broke the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands, so to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They're fighting with each other, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah, and to Zarephath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, and unto Tabath. The men of Israel gathered them together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and one of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Barah and the Jordan." Then the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters, and so on and so forth. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock called Oreb, and Zeb they slew as the witness of Zeb, and pursued Midian. So we see God gave Gideon the way to win the war, and it was through worship, blowing the trumpets and casting, breaking the vases and holding up the torches. And they didn't have to fight at all at the beginning because they were in the camp, and the camp was sleeping, and they didn't know what had risen, and they start fighting with each other. They start fighting with each other. I tell you, God knows how to win the war. I might have failed in many battles, but God knows how to win the war. You might have failed in many battles, but God knows how to win the war. Now, what happens now that Gideon has really done the will of God? Let's see in Judges 8, verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son's son also, for you have delivered us from the hand of the Midianites. I tell you, they want someone that they can see. They do not want to depend upon God. They want to make Gideon a king. They want to make him and his sons kings after him. And Gideon says, and Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. This is real. Gideon tells them that the Lord will rule over them. No family of Gideon. And what do they say? And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every... No, I'm sorry. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over them, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give you the golden earrings. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the king's Midian, and the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod. Here's another problem. Gideon made an ephod and put it in the city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went there, whoring after it, whoring, and worshipping it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness for 40 years in the days of Gideon. So what happens? They want to worship the ephod. I tell you, man and woman were meant to worship. We were meant to worship. And if we do not worship the true God, we will find another God to worship. It is just the way it is. Man and woman, we were destined to worship. God chose Gideon, but yet Gideon failed in making the ephod, and they start adoring the ephod. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is idolatry. This is idolatry. God calls us against idolatry. Well, people say, Father Tom, you worship the saints. I never worshiped the saints in my whole life. I pray with the saints. I pray with them. You know why? Because Moses and Elijah appeared unto Jesus, and they were talking to Jesus. Moses died, and he was with the Lord. I tell you, I believe that the saints gather around us, and I don't pray to them. I pray with them, those people that have already passed from this life to the next. And that's just the way it is, that God uses these children of the light that have already gone through the battle of earth. I tell you, God is to be worshipped alone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are not to worship other things. We are not to worship people. I tell you, when people have put me on a pedestal, unfortunately or fortunately, I always fall off. And I say, you know, I never told you to worship me. I'm just a human being. I'm going to disappoint you sometime. Don't put me on a pedestal, because you know what? I will fall off, and you might lose your faith because I fall off and I don't act justly and godly. I tell you, this is real stuff. We are always looking for something to worship, and it's only the triune God that is worthy of worship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only God is worthy of worship. The rest of us are servants of the Lord. That's all we are, servants of the Lord. You know, I remember when Father McNutt left the priesthood, I remember walking up the stairs in Sacred Heart, North Quincy, and I just found out that Father Francis McNutt left the priesthood and he was going to get married. And I'm thinking, he was so powerful. I'm just a wimp. How will I stay a priest for years if McNutt left? The Lord said, because you're weak. Because you're weak. But God has used Father McNutt. He has used him to bring the healing message to the people of God all over the world. Still, they work from Florida. He has been reinstated as a good Catholic, and they work in Florida and teach people how to bring healing to people. But you see, I had McNutt on a pedestal. He was there for so many years, and I said, you know, if McNutt falls, what about me? I'm the wimp. I tell you, do not put anyone on a pedestal. Do not put yourself on a pedestal. You will fall. You will fail. People will be disillusioned. Look what Gideon did. He made an ephod, and they started worshiping the ephod. You know, this is evil. This is evil when people worship the creature rather than the creator. So what about Gideon? How can we sum up Gideon? Gideon was a weak man. He was the weakest of the tribe of his father. Oh, yes. And God called him, O great champion. God sees beyond our weakness. God sees beyond our weakness. He sees what he sees. And we want to follow what God sees. We want to follow the vision of God. We do not want to follow our own vision, because it's too small. God sees, and we want to see the way God sees. How do we do that? By reading the scriptures, by telling people how God works. You know, God works in wonderful ways. People say, in mysterious ways. I tell you, he works any way he wants to work. He works any way he wants to work. And you know what? You might not agree with the way he works, but he'll work that way anyway. I have seen God work through a statue of the Virgin Mary as we were praying the rosary in honor of Jesus Christ, and it was weeping. And you know what? Some people say, that's the devil. Well, does the devil bring people to Jesus Christ? Not at all. I remember this young man sitting next to me, and he said to me, why is Mary weeping? I said, she's got a lot to weep about. We've taken command of the church. We are not prayerful people. We are broken. And, you know, we have sinned. And he said to me, I said to him, do you want to receive Jesus now? He says, no, I am a Jew. So I stopped talking to him, not because he's Jewish. He doesn't want any more. As he continued to watch Mary weep, he said, I want Jesus. And we prayed that Jesus would come into his heart. That is not the work of the devil. The devil wants to bring people away from Jesus. But you see, God used that statue. But we did not worship that statue. God used that statue, tears falling from her eyes, crying with tears that were salted. I tasted them. But you see, God used that statue to bring this man into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way God works. That's the way God works. people come to the Holy Rosary and they're troubled. They're very troubled because they're dying. People are prayed with and they say, this peace came upon me. Father Tom healed me. I tell them, honey, I can't heal myself. Father Tom did not heal you. Jesus heals you. But he worked through the broken vessel that Father Tom is. And he'll work through any broken vessel. He can work through you. There's Val that comes to our prayer group. And he prays with people on the phone in Brazil. Hundreds of people have been blessed and healed. You see, God wants you to reach out to others. To reach out to others. And don't ever put yourself on a pedestal because you'll fall off and you'll break into 1,000 pieces. Put yourself at the foot of the cross. St. Paul said in the Mass this Sunday, far be it from me to rejoice in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. And then he said, circumcision or uncircumcision counts for nothing, only a new creation. I tell you, that man became a new creation that night. He then was baptized and received the Holy Spirit at confirmation. I tell you, God knows how to do things. We just need to be in his will, and we need to preach the word of God. The word of God is powerful, and we need to preach it. I told you several weeks ago that the Protestant Reformation centered upon the word of God. Hallelujah. But the Catholic Reformation centered upon the Eucharist. And we both were wrong. It is Word and Eucharist. That's why when you go to a Protestant church, you see a big pulpit and a little communion table. And you go to a Catholic church, and you'll see a big altar and a little pulpit. But you see, we are supposed to be fed from two tables, the table of the Word and the table of the sacrament, the Eucharist. We need to be fed by two tables. Why do you think we have Mass every single day and we read from the Holy Scriptures? We do not read from the prophet Carl Gibran. We read from the Holy Scriptures. Only the Scriptures can be read at Mass. We are fed with two tables, the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. Who told us that? St. Augustine. He was converted because he listened to Ambrose preaching, and he was drawn in to give his life to Jesus and to repent of his sins. I tell you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How we need to hear the Word of God. How we need to preach the Word of God. How we need to lead people to Jesus. Do you know Jesus? This Sunday I said to the people, because Jesus said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. And I said to the people, how many of you have your names written in heaven? And a few people raised their hand. I said, well, the rest of you going to hell? Are the rest of you going to hell? Have you given your life to Jesus? If you've given your life to Jesus today and every day, raise your hand. Your name is written in heaven. Can you fall? Of course you can fall. But you know what? We're supposed to know that our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Not because I'm a good doobie, but because the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for me and shed his blood for you. How do you get your names written in heaven? You surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You surrender every part of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all. Sing it with me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all. Why? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? You, you alone. If I go to the highest mountain, you are there. If I flee to the lowest valley, you are there. If I cover my eyes and blindfold them, you, you alone. Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Whom else in heaven do I have but you? You, you alone. Whom else in heaven do I have but you? Only Jesus. In the Transfiguration, it says they looked up. After Moses and Elijah left, they looked up and they saw only Jesus. Let me tell you, only Jesus will bring you to the Father. Only Jesus can save you. By shedding his blood, he has saved us. And he has shed his blood for you and for me. And we are worth the blood of Jesus. Today, surrender to Jesus. How do I do that? Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all my sins, all my craziness, all my goodness. I surrender all to you. All to you. I want your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. I surrender all to you. Let me tell you that we are having, starting Sunday night, the School of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it will run from Sunday night to Saturday afternoon. There are two sessions a day. A morning session that ends at 1:30 and an evening session from 7 to 10. I want to tell you, it is so important that people come to this School of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is going to be doing marvelous things as we get our eyes off of the speakers even and put our eyes on Jesus, thanking God for the speakers, but keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his wonderful face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus alone. Jesus, who is the Lord. Jesus, who died for you. Jesus, who was buried for you. Jesus, who rose for you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his wonderful face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. I turn my eyes upon Jesus. I look straight in his wonderful face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. One more time. I turn my eyes upon Jesus. I look straight in his wonderful face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. Father, we give you praise, honor, and adoration. We praise you for your holy Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you that you sent him because the only way to get to heaven was through his cross, burial, and resurrection. Father, we are grateful that you gave us Jesus, but you also give us another advocate, the Holy Spirit. We are grateful for the Holy Spirit. Where would I be today without the Holy Spirit? Some people listen and say, Father Tom's not even a Christian. I thank God that you have made me a Christian through baptism and faith. I thank God it's all by your grace. Some people say, I don't like Benny Hinn's ministry. Well, you know what? God seems to like it. Thank you, Jesus, for working in wonderful ways through different people. We might not agree with what you're doing, Lord, but you do it anyway because you're so wonderful. You can work through the weakest person who hears me today as he or she or both give their life to you. You can work through them, Lord, because you are magnificent and you are holy. So, Father, I just praise you again for choosing me to preach the Word of God on radio. I praise you that you have chosen me in my weakness. I praise you that you reach out to the multitudes one at a time. Oh, thank you for that one that was blessed today. Thank you for that one that heard the word today. Thank you for that one that we are never to worship idols, never to worship anything but God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.